Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Welcome to episode 311. Cappy, Luke Combs' manager, also Nico Moon's manager, is on. Just talks about, well, a lot of Luke Combs' story and how he got to where he is, but also, you know, the sacrifice that Cappy went through just to be a manager. Also, if you're a new artist and you're like, how do I make it? Well, Cappy will give you his advice. It's a crazy cool story. I don't know that I've ever heard Cappy interviewed like this before.
Nope.
But I like him a lot, and I was super pumped he came over to the house. So Cappy coming up in just a little bit. The new releases that I think you'll like, let's start at number five. Reba put out a remix of her song, I'm a Survivor. Now, you may know it from the opening credits of the Reba show. Or maybe you see it on TikTok all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's probably being made as a remix, because it is killing it on TikTok.
See the one she did, like in response to everything?
Uh-uh.
She made a video too.
She did. It's like, if I were to just come up on top off the top of my head, if I go and I'm like, I'm going to make dinner for Caitlin, and I crack a couple eggs, and I make something really wimpy, and I'm like, here it is. And it's like a single mom that works too. It's like, it's things around the house mostly. It's a funny trend.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, but she did a remix of it, and here's a clip of that. A single mom who works two jobs, who loves her kids and never stops, with gentle hands and the heart of a fighter, I'm a survivor. And number four, Claire Dunn. She has a new EP called In This Kind of Light. The crazy news about Claire Dunn, I'm not saying that, I mean, the timing is good for her for it to come out now. She got beat up by like an Uber driver.
Lyft driver.
It's just, I'm used to it being Uber.
Yeah.
I'm used to all the bad stories of being Uber. She got beat up by a Lyft driver. But that story, and I'm sure she wouldn't trade it, you know, she doesn't want to get beat up. But that story made me think about, oh, what's she up to?
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw she had new music come out.
Yeah.
Talking about it here. So something kind of good came from a terrible situation. That guy pulled her out of the car. Like, he needs to go to jail and get beat up like that a few times. Man, that sucked for her. But here she is, number four on our list. Here's Claire Dunn with a new song, How It Comes Off. You don't mean to break my heart, but that's how. Hope she's doing better. I saw the pictures of her face afterward, and I don't know if that was from right after or still today, because that was about a month ago and that happened, right?
Yeah, in June.
So, okay, so maybe she's back.
Yeah.
Man, felt so bad for her there. Number three, Sheryl Crow finally put out her full album, Live from the Ryman and More. Here is her live version of Every Day's a Winding Road. Love Sheryl Crow. At number two, Lucy Silva's has a new song out called Cool Down, featuring Sheryl Crow. I need a cool down. I got a thirst for making you hurt, cause I don't like feeling nothing. No matter what you do, And at number one, the new album from Dan and Shay is called Good Things. And here is a new song called Steal My Love. I saw a clip on Instagram, too, where Tennille Arts and Matt Stell wrote a song together. Then they released it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called Over You Is You.
That's it.
And so you can check that out today. Jamison Rogers has one called One Day. In news, Limp Bizkit canceled the remainder of their tour, quote, out of an abundance of caution. Did not know they were touring. I wonder how many of the original guys there are.
I know him and the guitar player for sure.
Like, Monkey was the guitar player for, I think they even changed Monkey out for a while.
Really?
Is Monkey still in it?
I thought I saw him at Lollapalooza.
Stevie Nicks has canceled all her remaining shows, including ACL, because of COVID concerns. Bonnaroo and Milwaukee Summerfest to require proof of vaccination or COVID test to attend. Jillian Jacklin is expecting her first kid. Congratulations. Love Jillian. She first announced that she and her husband Brian are expecting their first kid. Boom. There you go. All right. That's the releases. That's the news. And we'll get to Cappy in a second. Just a fantastic interview. Love this guy. I think you're going to like it too. All right. Thank you. All right, I didn't know your name was Chris Cappy.
Yes, it is.
Does anyone call you Chris?
My mother.
But nobody here?
Nobody.
I've never heard you refer to as anything other than Cappy.
That's all I've ever gone by. It's been since kindergarten.
Oh, it's even before like your professional career started.
And when I was in college in my fraternity, the joke was to get Cappy's signature in your black book, you had to figure out what his first name was. and it was a long running joke. So, but yeah, I've never gone by Chris from anyone. My mother's the only one that calls me Chris.
I feel like we've known each other for a bit, but then once I was deep diving a bit more, obviously there are new things that I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
But even your title is Chief Navigation Officer.
Yeah.
At Make Wake Artists. What the heck is a Chief Navigation Officer, and why that?
Well, it's funny. I never expected to own a business and have the success that I've had. And when I did it, I always said I didn't want to be a CEO. I that's just not who I am. What I try to do with my artists and my employees is I try to help navigate. I use my years of experience and what I've done and point them in the right direction and steer their careers and steer their ships. But they're their bosses. I mean, they're the CEOs of their company, and I'm there to help them. So I'm not a COO or a CFO or a CEO. I'm the CNO, and I love being the navigation officer. That's the most comfortable thing for me.
But you got to create that title.
Yes, I just came up with it. I worked on cruise ships for 15 years, and you know I was very at home on the water, and I'm very and I live on the river here in town, and I love being on water, and that just felt normal for me, like you know just the head of the ship.
I'd say you could be captain of something, but you're already Cappy.
People call me that too.
Yeah, and I want to get back to the cruise ship
sure.
stuff because I definitely read that, and that was the first time that I had known that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you're just beloved, not by me, but also you know my managers, Tom Lord,
mm-hmm.
Tom Lord and Tom Betsy managed me, but you know Tom Lord was with you, I guess, playing golf a couple weeks ago.
We did,
and he was like, "Man, Cappy's just the greatest." You forget when you're only working with him, you know, professionally. That he's just the greatest.
Well, I appreciate it. Tom is an amazing person, has been such a great friend of mine moving to town because I didn't have any friends here when I moved to town. So Tom and I met very early on and we've always been very close.
You moved to Nashville to do what?
To manage Luke Combs.
So, and I've talked to Luke and I have his perspective
sure.
on you and him. And just in a nutshell, from his perspective, it was like you were the one that was like, "Hey, I believe in you as an artist."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know other people are... Some people are saying this or that, but I'm the one that believes in you as an artist.
Right.
And that's basically what, according to him, that was what made him and you stick.
Right.
And you wrote him a letter, maybe?
I did.
Can you just tell your version of that whole story?
Absolutely. So, you know, I moved to town September 6th of 2015 to manage Luke after we had done some things together. So I moved to town and we started working together. And then I had to go out of town to finish some obligations I had that I'd already given people my word on. So I left town. And when I came back, I had heard... You know, through the grapevine of Nashville, that Luke had took some management meetings. So I said, "I'm not going to let this happen." So I sat down and wrote him a very long email.
Were you not his manager?
I was his manager, but I guess it was so early on that I was just afraid of what was going to happen. Because I had so many people had talked to me about this town that it's the town that will give you a hug, but as they're giving you a hug, they put a knife in your back. So I was like, "Well, I don't want that to happen." So I was like, you know, maybe somebody did go behind my back and talk to Luke. So I said, you know what? I'm going to tell him how I feel. And I wrote this extremely long email. It took me hours and hours and hours to write. But I poured everything into it because I was all in on him. And I hit send and I just crossed my fingers. And we talked the next day and he said, I read your email. And at first I was getting mad because of the things you were saying, because you were like saying that I was talking to somebody else and all these other things. But as I read it, I kept feeling how much you cared for me in that. And I was, and at the point I got to the end of it, I was like, this guy, you know, this guy's gonna do anything for me. So I got to go with him. And we've been, you know, glued at the hip ever since. And I think you have to, when you want something bad enough, you have to go all in on it. And I did. And I put it all out there.
What was it about Luke early on? Because you didn't meet while you were in Nashville. Was it like a club? I'm just trying to recall.
Yeah. So the way it all happened is a guy named Bradley Jordan, who owns Peachtree Entertainment, called me. I was living in California and I was working for Six Man, which is the company before I started with Luke. And he said, you've always wanted to be a manager. You're 42 years old. You're throwing your life away if you don't do this. You're going to regret it. And he's my best friend, and he can say those things to me. And he hit me right between the eyes. And I was like, you're right. So I decided to move back. I was going to work with another. I looked at a couple other artists. None of that worked out. And he calls me and goes, I found your guy. His name is Luke Combs. We're going to do a show, and you're going to see him play. I said, fantastic. He goes, you have to buy the show, because he doesn't have a show on the books. He has no shows. So you're going to have to buy the show, rent the venue, and throw the event. So we did.
So buy the show. Explain that.
So we had to go and pay Luke to come and play the show because he didn't have any shows on the books. So this is so early in his career. He only had one show he had done, which was with Bradley at in Rome, Georgia, at the Brew House. So we bought the show, paid Luke $750, paid $750 to the venue. And I remember being, there's only going to be three people at the show, Bradley, Luke, and me. And during sound check, Luke started playing a song and he's like, hey man, can I text you these lyrics? Can you print them out for me? I'm like, sure. It was Hurricane. First time he ever played it live in front of a crowd. The only place where it lived was on Facebook on a video. So anyway, he's singing in sound check. I'm like, man, this guy's really good. Like this guy can really sing in the band. And so I walk outside and, you know, it's like 9 o'clock and about to open the doors. You know, it's a college town and there's people in line. No pre-sold tickets. And I'm like, wow, 83 people were there for this first show. And he had nothing going on. And they were singing every word, every song on his first two EPs that had come out, which is six songs, which is She Got the Best of Me and The Way She Rides and Can I Get an Outlaw? And then he played Hurricane. And they were singing the words to Hurricane. It had only been on a Facebook video. And for all the years that I worked with, I was working with, you know, John Mayer and Kiss and Kid Rock and all these Paramore, 311, these super passionate fan bases. And they would sing every word to every single song, even the deep cuts. They were doing the same thing. And I was like, he has it. He has, not only does he have the chops, because he has that and he has the songs, but he's got fans that are already in love with him. And as soon as you see that, and that's what I knew, I was like, this is it. Like, he has it. I can take this. And I told him, I was like, Luke, in 5 years, we'll have you playing theaters on a tour bus and you'll be making seven figures. And I can guarantee that in 5 years. Cause I saw so many bands do it and with fans. And he's like, okay, if you can do that, you know, you're my manager, let's go. And that's kind of how the whole thing started in the beginning. And we did that, you know, we really stayed focused on the fan base. And that's all we really focus on is how do we affect the bootleggers, which is what we call his fan base. It works, fans first. That's all we really focus on. When it comes down to it, is how does it affect the fan?
So you're living in California. You go to Georgia to do this. Mm-hmm. Were you already going, all right, I got to get to Nashville? Or was it after that night with Luke Combs?
After with Luke, and he said, if you want to be my manager, you have to live in Nashville.
Was he living in Nashville at the time?
He was. He was. He was already here.
How quick did you move?
It took me 6 weeks. And 6 weeks.
So you go, I got this new artist. Mm-hmm. Listen, let's be honest. If you're just managing an artist who's not making any money, mm-hmm. I'll just talk from the experience with my management.
Sure.
So I don't put words in your mouth. My management makes 15% of what I make.
Sure.
If I'm making zero, 15% of what I make is zero.
Zero.
So that's you moving to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have some money saved up?
I had a little bit of saved up. And when Luke and I sat down, I remember the first time sitting in his apartment around, you know, the glass table with the four wrought iron chairs in his apartment. I said, man, what's the most important thing for you? And he's like, man, I really hate driving to these rights I'm in this old Dodge Neon that I had. And I don't want to. In fact, I park and walk two blocks in the heat. And I was like, look, I won't take a dime from you until you're making money and we can buy you a car. So what we would do is after every run, any extra money we had left over, we would put into a bank bag that lived inside a coffee can that lived in his kitchen. And that's what we stacked cash in there. And then the rest of the time, I was just using my money to live off of or fund whatever we needed. If we needed extra hotel rooms or we didn't make enough money that night for gas in the van, I just came out of my pocket and did it. And because I wasn't going to give up. And I think that's the difference of becoming a manager at 42 years old and already having and living a life. I was like, I'm all in on this guy because I'm okay to fail because I'm ready to make this happen. So I'm going to go all in. And it was April. So that was September. It was April. I was sleeping on my couch because I was renting out my room in this house that I had in East Nashville that I was living in. It was a hovel, but it's all I could afford. I had somebody living there to help me pay for my bills. So I was sleeping on my couch. I was now 43 years old, sleeping on my couch, driving the van. I had sold everything that I could sell to have money. And what I would do every night is I would go to the green room and I would take a merch bin in there, but it wasn't a merch bin. It was my food stash because I would take the food out of the green room, the Funyuns and the bottled water and whatever we had and put it in there so I had food to eat because I couldn't afford anything because I had to scrape everything together so we could make it. And I remember getting there and we had enough money to buy Luke the car. And I never once was like, he never knew any of this. Like I didn't let him know where it stood financially. I was late on my rent. I was late. I was all my credit cards were past due. I was sitting there one night and I was like, I'm like almost rocking back and forth, you know? I was like, he has it. I know he does. I know we're going to do this. And we bought him the car. It was a Ford Fusion. The very next week we got an offer to play a show, in the Outer Banks, at an ATV park for $10,000. I was like, wow. And then the week after that, we got a private for $10,000. So instantaneously I made $3,000 and I was like, this is going to work.
Because you got the truck. So now, which is, by the way, let me just stop you before we go forward and say, for you to go, I'm not taking any money until you're able to not only make a little money for yourself, but to pay off this first part of what can make your dream. I haven't heard of such thing unless it's by someone who has a lot of money and is pretty rich to do that. Like I've heard of some friends of mine that are athlete managers or business, and they can do that. And they can go, hey, listen, I got four other clients here that are millionaires.
Right.
I won't take a dime until you're... But you weren't doing that. You didn't have anything.
No.
You were taking nothing while you had nothing.
Yeah.
You believed that much.
I've never stopped believing.
And I know you believe now, and I know you believed early, but I've had things in my career where I'm like, I'm so for sure of this. And I'm my head's down, and I'm not stopping. And I never stopped. However, there were times where it got to be so questionable. I was like, am I delusional that I believe so much? Because I do believe in certain things I've done so much, but there are times where there's so much pushback where I start to question if I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Did you ever question if you were crazy?
My parents questioned me, I think, very early on. They're like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, are you sure you want to give up a 15-year career? I know my brother was the same way. Are you sure you want to do this? Now they see it. But I mean, I think it's different. When you're standing there in a room and you're watching people pour their hearts out and what they're doing and the connection that Luke had with the fans, and I saw it so early on. I was like, this is real. Like you cannot create this no matter what. And I was like, it's going to happen. I just have to weather the storm. And I don't know, whatever the higher power is that's out there said, I'm going to test you. And if you don't break, I'm going to reward you. And I never broke.
So when did the record labels, and then what was that just fury? It was everybody after Luke at once, or was it one and then one sees it's cool and comes after it? How did that go?
Well, you know, we signed with River House, which is Lynn Oliver, and Lynn and I are friends from years and years and years ago. And I took her the music and she heard it and she loved it. So she signed Luke to an independent deal. And then she was distributing it through 30 Tigers. And then as it started to pick up momentum and it got some radio play, and then everything started to kind of snowball from there because they started recognizing it and it started to stream and people started to like perk up a little bit because we didn't play any shows in town. You know, the big first show that we did in town was Whiskey Jam anniversary show. And then after that show, because of the pickup we had from the early independent stuff that we had done with the radio and everything like that and people paying attention, then that happened. There was a bunch of A&R people there. Actually, Bo Martinovich was there from Sony and actually sent a video that night of everybody singing Hurricane to the Sony team. they decided to have conversations. We had conversations with three labels in the very beginning, and it became very, very quick and hot and fast. And we opted to go with Sony, and it was a great opportunity.
Were you leveraging? Because anytime anybody bidding on me, we've always leveraged. Right.
You know what? And at that point, we really didn't. And that's not one of the things that I do very well. I'm not a big leverager in that, in the sense that I'm very transparent. In fact, I'm working on a deal right now for one of my other artists that I just sent. Like, they're like, well, how much do you have invested in this artist already? And I was like, $29,806. And they're like, oh, wow. I was like, yeah, here, let me see the spreadsheet. Instead of like bumping it or padding it or anything like that, I just don't, I'm not a giant leverage person.
But, for example.
Yes.
There's a little deal happening with me a few years ago, 2 years ago.
Right.
One of the major streaming companies said, we'll give you $1. Well, then I go over to iHeart and go, well, they're offering me $1.
Right.
Like, this is leverage too. So can you be $1? And they're like, well, yes, we can. Well, then it's that. We'll just call it another one.
Were you able to do that? A little bit of that happened. But I think, you know, the reason we went with Sony and the biggest thing that really made that over the other two was the relationship that they wanted to have with Luke and the relationship they wanted to have with us. So, like, I think that was what really won it out. But no, it didn't get into a giant bidding war at all. It really didn't. Sony came very honest and straightforward from the beginning. And, you know, we had already had Hurricane out there, so they also had to be ready just to pick up and go with what we had already done and flip it and take it from there. And they did.
Did they use the exact track? Did they do anything?
No, same.
They took it. Was that part of the deal too? Like, hey, we know kind of what we.
Well, it was already done. Yeah. It was already done. So we were able to deliver a full project to them, completely finished. And then, you know, it's hard to argue anything when you are Luke and you're delivering the songs and they're doing what they're doing and having the reaction that they are. Now, we do absolutely listen. I mean, originally we were going to release Hurricane into One Number Away, and they came back and said, "Hey, would you mind releasing Hurricane into When It Rains, It Pours? We think it would be a better play." And Luke listens. I mean, that's the beauty of who he is he wants to hear great feedback. And we did. And then we released it that way. Then we came with One Number Away, and it worked.
Is it to the point now where you have so many offers to do so many things that it's hard to keep up with?
Yes.
For Luke.
Absolutely. Well, it's getting that way for Nico and getting that way for Haley. It's crazy. I mean, we have a full team surrounding Luke. I talk with Luke every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to go over a plethora of asks. And unfortunately, I have to say no a lot, because if I did everything, the guy would not have a personal life. You understand how that is. I mean, you probably get asked for so many things too. You're like, guys, if I say this, I literally can't do anything else in my personal life. So we have to be very selective now, which means I have to be a no guy, which I hate being, because I'm a pleaser as a person, but the most important person I have to protect are my artists.
Right.
So I have to say no a lot.
Yeah, there's a point, and it's a great point, and I get to experience mine a couple years ago, where you went, and I went from begging for yes, for people to say yes to me, or I'm just like, please, 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 to now, it's hard to say no, but you have to go from begging to yeses to figuring out which no's are important to say no to now.
Right.
And I could definitely see that being a thing with Luke. And by the way, congratulations on Nico. Like, I love Nico. Like, that guy, I can't be around him enough. And
isn't he fun?
He is, and he's also really good. And that's the thing, both of these artists are surprising in that way, because, and I'll say one more thing about Luke, right, because Nico triggered this thought. With Luke, you know his songs are good, but when he sings in person, and listen, I had the luxury of kind of getting to know Luke early too.
Sure.
You know, and having him on the show.
Did.
And so, He is such a great singer, not just a yeller or a guy with big fun songs. I don't think he gets credit for how pure of a singer he is because of his songs and his image.
Right.
But the guy can sing with anybody. Like, he could sit with Shay and sing with Shay.
Well, he's a choral. He came up as a chorus kid,
yeah,
you know? So he's been singing his whole life. You know, when you come up through chorus, you learn to really sing. And he was in an a cappella group. You know, so Luke has been a core singer his entire life. So I thank you for saying that, because I think what's funny is when you strip him down and you put him there with just him and a guitar and you really let him be vulnerable, you really get to see it. Like, it takes you back and you're like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Was that the kind of the idea of doing Better Together, like it was done?
No, you know what? I wish I had the thing. You know, Luke is, you know, is in there, like, he's really into the production of what he does, and he has an idea of what he wants to do. And, you know, when he works with his producers, they'll come up with ideas. And, you know, I'm glad we did Better Together that way, because it let his voice shine in all the award shows that we did. We did it on Billboard and we did another one. And it was really awesome to let that moment shine so people could really see. Because I think a lot of people hide behind, or they think they hide behind production. And when you get it that raw where it's just a piano and a vocal, you can't hide behind that. And it's really amazing to see that. Because then you get all the critics out there that are like, man, that Luke Combs really can sing.
Yeah. I mean, and I have the luxury of having been around him singing, you know, from me to you.
Right.
And know that. And I'm always kind of like, dang, I wish people really knew like how pure of a singer he was.
Oh, yeah, in the studio. When he comes in the studio and sits and sings and right in front of you. Right.
Or we did he came and played a show with us at the Ryman and he sang right on stage. And I'm just like, holy crap.
Yeah, you know? It's pretty amazing.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. But in Nico, which triggered that, like Nico is, obviously he walks in a room. He kind of owns the room by his presence and his
smile.
Just how delightful he
is. His teeth.
He's just that smiling, happy guy.
He is.
And he looks like he would be total like emo or sad because he's covered in tattoos and he's wearing all black. But all of a sudden, he makes the room happier.
Dude.
It's the weirdest thing.
He exudes it.
And but his the crazy thing about Nico is he changed his real name to Nico Moon.
Yeah,
he
that's him. That's who he is. Like that's and you know the funny thing is I was originally supposed to manage him back in 2008, 2009, and he ended up signing with Southern Ground, which is the Zac Brown Group, and ended up going with them to be managed by a company called Roar back then. So Nico was going to be my first client I ever managed years ago, and it kind of fell through. And I remember sitting at my table in my kitchen and drawing out like the same technique that I used with Luke, which I called it concentric touring. And I drew it on a napkin and showed Nico. I was like, we're going to use this and this is how we're going to break you and stuff like that. And then it never happened. I did the same thing with Luke. I was like, well, it didn't work here. So 10 years later, I'm going to try it again. And it worked with Luke. So that was like the idea. But that's Nico and I, you know, when I got the call years later to talk with him about management, because he was taking management meetings, I was like, well, here's another chance. Let's try it again. And it ended up working for the betterment for both of us.
Let's play a clip of a good time just so everybody can be reminded.
We just trying to catch a good time. Even if it takes all night.
With, you know, the song he was talking about, there were, you know, real drums on it.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? This just isn't me. I mean, that's kind of a ballsy decision to make in country music.
It is.
To go, you know, I think I want some electric drums on there.
Mm-hmm.
When a decision like that is made and has to do with a song that could possibly be a single, I mean, you get called in.
You know what, hey, Bobby? I'm not a musician at all. I cannot play anything. I mean, I can't even play a tambourine, and I just can't. So what I do is I listen like a fan, which I think sometimes is just as good as being somebody that can critically hear something like, oh, that should be a half step higher or lower. I can't do any of that. So when I heard it, in fact, when I heard Nico's music for the first time, I heard the song way back. And I was like, I love this. Because, I mean, I grew up as a kid listening to Blackhawk and NWA. So as just like he talked about having Outkast and Alan Jackson, I did the same thing. So I came from a very diverse musical fan background. And when I heard Way Back, I was like, I'm all in on you. So we knew it was going to be tough. But, you know, we also know that the format is opening up so wide now. And you have artists like a Luke Combs, and then you have artists like Dan and Shay, and then you have artists like Walker Hayes, and then, you know, back to Chris Stapleton. You have such a wide swath that luckily our genre is becoming more and more welcome to wider sounds. And that's why it was so fun to have Nico in there. But yes, was it a struggle? Absolutely. And getting certain people to understand it. But, you know, when the majority of them meet Nico and they understand him and they see the show, the fan reaction and the reaction that he has with them, it's undeniable. And then a lot of people are like, wow, I get it. I understand what's going on. And his stage presence is amazing.
I didn't know a lot about Nico. I remember, you know, meeting Rod Phillips, who runs Iron Country. Him and I have been together in one form or another for 15 years.
Sure.
Right? So we're extremely close personally and professionally. And I remember before Luke Combs, mm-hmm. Luke was on the verge, him and I had a talk in a meeting in a boardroom. Mm-hmm. And it's like, who is it going to be? And it was easily going to be Luke Combs.
Sure.
And you guys came on the show that morning. And
remember you made me cry?
You cried. I do remember that vividly.
Yes, you did.
Seems like a lifetime ago, honestly.
It does.
But with Nico, we were in the room and I'd heard some of Nico, just his music, didn't know what he looked like. And Rod was like, what do you think? I was like, I don't know anything about him. Like, I don't know. He goes, well, he's playing at the iHeart, there's a meeting where everybody
summit,
comes in.
The iHeart Summit.
Yeah, the music summit.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Nico play at that music summit and I was like, oh, that's the guy. He goes, yeah, it doesn't matter what you say anymore.
Yeah.
We've already made him on the verge. And I was like, oh, I get it now, though.
Oh,
like,
that's amazing.
I mean, that you're right. Once you see him play, if you haven't been convinced, you're like, oh, yeah, like, I get it now. And that's what it was for me with Nico, mm-hmm. because I'm just hearing songs all the time.
Right.
You know,
it's tough.
I don't really have a relationship with Scott Borchetta. I mean, almost none. Back when I first moved here, kind of a little bit, but I don't have a relationship with Scott. But everybody has everybody's cell number in town.
Sure.
And he signed an artist named Tierra, who is an artist that I've had on the show and that I've had do some stuff here. And I told him recently, I said, hey, nothing moves me anymore. By nothing, I mean almost nothing. Like, I'm so jaded and I've heard everything. I said, but when I heard Tierra, I went, holy crap. Like, there is something about her that really makes me, it gives you a little twinge.
Yeah.
But that was the same thing with Nico. Whenever I got to experience that Nico, what about Nico to you was a guy that you wanted to invest your time and your money in?
Well, the work ethic is there. You know, the passion that he has for what he does and the way that he does it. You know, he writes everything with Anna, his wife. Mm-hmm. That's a family affair. He wants nothing more than to be an artist, and he wants to bring happiness to people. And you know, I guess being a jaded person myself in many things over the years of people like doing me wrong or seeing things go wrong, I want to do good, you know, and having Nico around and doing what he's doing just like Luke does. I mean, I'm so blessed that I've picked such great artists to let me work with them. They all are good people. And then when I saw when Nico and I, he played me the music and then he's like, He's like, oh yeah, let me show you this. And he sat with a guitar, and it was just him and a guitar. Nico can sing too. Like, a lot of people don't know that. Yeah. They think he hides behind his tracks also. Not even close. I mean, like, you give the guy a guitar and let him just do his thing. And he does that in the show now. He's like, I'm going to show people. So he walks up with just an acoustic guitar and does his thing. But I guess, you know, I just really like working with artists that are like super positive and want to work hard. And that's where I'm at. And I'm luckily every single one of mine are like that.
What about Haley Witters? What drew you to her?
Man, you know, funny thing is, I worked with Haley and I didn't know this. Back in 2015, Haley opened up for three shows in us in the Carolinas. It was Anderson, South Carolina, Darlington, and another city. And I don't remember this, but Haley told me when I was interviewing with Haley 2 years ago to be her manager, she had narrowed it down to myself and Matt Graham, who co-manage her, and another manager. And she finally called and said, hey, it's you two. I want you guys to manage me. And I was like, wow. I was like, well, what was the deciding factor? She goes, I opened up three Luke Combs shows. You walked me to and from my car every night. You walked me to and from the backstage area to the green room. I mean, from the green room to the stage, which was not much of it. It was a bar. And you made sure I had water on stage every night, and you made sure that my merch was taken care of, and you settled the show for me. If nobody else did that, and you were super sweet the entire time, and you had no reason to be. And she's like, that was one of the deciding factors that pushed it over the edge. Be like, if you were that nice to me back then, imagine what you're going to be like to me now. And and that's kind of where we are. And I mean, I talk to her every day. I literally hung up with the phone with her as I was pulling to your driveway.
Boy, what a buzz on her though now too.
It is.
It's, you know, I would imagine that sometimes you have to decide which avenue of the buzz you want to go down.
Yeah, in this town, or I guess with your artists, you really want to go down, you want to make sure that the credibility side is really cemented tough before you go for any commercialism. Because, you know, the credibility is the one thing that you can have and then gain commercialism. If you have a ton of commercialism, it's hard to get credibility. So, I can't even recall somebody that went full commercial and then was like, oh, this guy's super credible too. So with Haley, I think the biggest thing we want to do is just have her put her music out. When she wrote The Dream and did it all on her own with Jake and her now fiance and her producer, and they put that record out, the entire town buzzed about the sound. And then, you know, I have to say that the team at Big Loud, you know, Seth and Nicole Gallion and at Songs and Daughters, and that whole team raised their hand immediately and said, we want in on this project. And we did an exit in show right before COVID hit. I was like, I had to miss the show. I was in Europe with Luke when that all happened, and we had to come back, and Haley was doing her show here, and it went over great. And I got a text from Seth when I landed. It said, we're in, offer's coming. And that's how fast it happened. And fast, but she'd been here for 12 years.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know, you say something that I think's, you know, pretty poignant, in that the credibility has to be there before the commercialism comes, which I think, though, can be extremely frustrating. And speaking as what I would call for a long time a broke artist myself,
right?
That's frustrating, because you're going, I gotta make some money.
Right.
Like, I need to make money. I need to pay bills. And not only that, I'd like to have a nice car. Like, but it is more of an investment mm-hmm. in the future and the spoils that could come than what you can get now. And I would think that's a difficult conversation to have with people. We're like, stay poor for a minute, because if you stay poor and be credible, you can pick what you do later on.
That's why you have a good business manager. So, in fact, Luke and Haley have the same business manager, and he's amazing like that. But that's what they do. They say, look, if you wait one more year and do this way, you can have three times what you're looking for. But yeah, you have to do that. And, you know, at that point too, Bobby, you know, a lot of them are so poor, they know how to stay poor for a little bit longer. And what you have to do is you have to reel back and say, okay, even though there's money in your account right now, that money's already spent.
Right.
So you can't look at that. So, you know, work in that way. But, you know, Haley was here for 12 years before she got a record deal. You know, some people come to town and in 3 months can get a record deal. But, you know, we worked really hard to have Haley as a credible artist, and we want to build evergreen careers. If you want an evergreen career, or do you want, a 3-4 year career, you know, like a pop, you know, some pop artists only come around and you hear from a little bit and then they're gone.
Right.
So we don't want that. Like, I always use the analogy with my artists. You're either going to be a C-130 or a rocket ship. C-130 takes a lot longer to get off the ground, but once we get up in the air, we can gas up in the air and keep going. When you're a rocket ship, you go up and you either make it into orbit or you don't, and you come crashing back down to Earth. So you have to decide, what do you want to be? Or you can be like a Luke Combs and you're a C-130, and then they strap four rockets to your wings, light them on fire, and then you just get going.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. How has he done with, boom, you're extremely famous real quick?
He is the exact same guy. There is literally nothing that has changed from Luke Combs, other than he lives from an apartment in Hermitage to a house where he lives now. He is the exact same fella. I mean, the guy will give you the shirt off his back. He does things for people all the time, and there's so much stuff that he's done that nobody even knows about. And he does it out of the goodness of his heart. He's a mensch.
Was there ever a time where you had the conversation of, we're just going to wear Columbia shirts, you don't need to look like, I mean, did either one of you have that with the other and go, hey, what do we do? Like, do I just stay the same and never change? Or like,
we had that early, it was very early on. So like, you know, both of us were big guys and we're both riding around together and we were both wearing Columbia stuff because their stuff fits bigger guys really well. It's very boxy. And the other thing too, is we were playing and we were going from bar to bar to bar, staying in like, you know, choice hotels or Holiday Inn Expresses. And I would literally be able to take that shirt and I could wash it in the sink, hang it up to dry, and in 30 minutes it was show ready. So that's one of the reasons why. And when you're playing in those rooms where you're under those parkans back in the day that are like, it's like a microwave oven, he could sing and play in that and move and the shirt wouldn't stick to him. So we decided just to keep doing that. And it was just very easy. And especially when you're on the road and you don't want to pack a giant suitcase full of stuff, you can just grab four of those shirts and throw them into a bag. And, you know, that's how we started. And I just reached out to Columbia one day through an email to their corporate headquarters and to their C-level executives and said, hey, this guy's playing every night and wearing your stuff. Can we get some free gear? They're like, sure. And that's how the whole thing started.
And now is that a bigger thing?
Yeah. Yeah. He's an ambassador.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine he has a half to share the company now at this point. You used to work on festivals. You talk about festivals on cruise ships. And, you know, you mentioned John Mayer and Kid Rock. I read 311. You mentioned Paramore.
Right.
How long would you stay out on the ocean at a time?
There was a point at one time that I was out for 25 days on cruise ships. So we would just flip the ship, you know, every 5 days. And, you know, we would come into port, dump them, and then go back out. And in that time frame of that 3 hours, we would take all the branding down for one event. So like, let's say Paramore. And then we would turn around and throw all the branding up for Kiss. And we would just move the people back and forth and then go out again. And I did that for 15 years. I ended up doing 85 full ship charters when I had finally left.
How did you have a life on land?
It was lucky. So all the ships were done in the wintertime. So it was all from November to February. And then when we were back on land, I was setting up all the relationships. So I worked with all the brand partners. And then on board, I worked with all the artists and their teams on board. And I was like one of the hosts. Like I was on stage and I was welcoming people and running the games and that kind of stuff. And that's what we would do the whole time. But I spent essentially, you know, 12 ships or 10. At the end when I left, it was 12 a year on the water. And the thing is the reason why I ended up leaving to go work with Luke is because I wasn't challenged anymore. I could deal with anything because everything we've ever seen on the cruise ship, short of a fire or a rogue wave, I dealt with everything else. So there was no challenge. So it was kind of like I was just phoning it in. And then I met Luke and I was like, I felt energized again. I was like, wait a second, I get to drive the van. I'm going to sell merch. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was manager. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was tour manager. Merch guy, like mixing ears on my phone from the merch table, like they're pointing at me, like, you know, pointing up and down. And then Sunday I'd come back, I'd pay everybody and then, you know, put the money away and start again Monday morning. And I was energized again. Like I loved it. I was like, oh man, a challenge. And that's where I went crazy. And I was just like, I'm so happy again.
Before you, you know, had your own company and 10, how many artists do you have under you now?
I have 12 artists and 14 employees.
So before that version of you, whenever you're just managing and you're really catching on as a manager, what is a day like as a manager of an artist on like a Wednesday?
I can give you today. You know, there's a breakfast meeting first with somebody here in town, 8 a.m.
What you, like somebody like you're thinking about signing or somebody that you're...
No, I'll go through my full day. Alarm goes off at 4 a.m. Okay, so I'm up at 4, make coffee, let the dogs out, spend 30 minutes with nothing on and just enjoying a cup of coffee.
You mean clothes? No clothes on?
Well, a pair of underwear.
Okay.
Pair of underwear. Nobody wants to see that, Bobby. So I enjoy a nice cup of coffee. Like I said, I live on the Cumberland River, so I get to enjoy that in the morning, watch the sun come up. And then I start reading Twitter for an hour. And I type in all my artist name and I read the last 24 hours of Twitter.
Wow.
Because that gives me a pulse of what's kind of going on. And then I start answering emails and I get to a good point. So I have to be below 10 emails every day when I finish the day or when I go to start the day with all the emails that come in overnight, I file them down and I start my day. Then I went and met with another manager here in town this morning. So I try to meet with a manager that I've never met before every month because it helps me increase my network. And nobody would meet with me early on. So it's kind of like my give back. I want to give back to the industry. So I meet with a manager that I don't know. Met with a great guy today. We had a great conversation. I went straight from there. Did a phone call right to my office. Started working there. I've had 4 conference calls today. And then I'm coming over here. And then I'm leaving here. I'll jump back on my phone. And then I'll be on it until probably about 7 o'clock tonight.
What are these conference calls about, though? Not specifically, but is it...
Sure. Like, so we had a call today about Luke's routing.
Tour routing?
Tour routing. Yeah, with our agent, Aaron Tannenbaum. And then I had a call with a promoter. I had a call with my team. I had a call with two of my managers internally. So, and then that doesn't include just the random calls that just happened that I'm like, you know, I had to change the autoresponder on my iPhone to say, I'm on a call, I'll call you right back, or I'm in a meeting, please text, like the ones, and then I have to go back through those and return all those phone calls. So at the end of the day, I also go to my missed call page and just start calling everybody back on there. And that's essentially what it is. No day ever goes as planned. Tom can tell you that. No day ever goes as planned. I've never had a day go perfectly as planned. And I'm usually canceling one, if not two things a day.
Every day something gets
every
canceled
day.
Because of a fire?
Because of a fire.
Of some sort?
Uh-huh. Because even if it's not an artist fire, it might be an employee fire. And, you know, my employees are one of the most important things to me. And if they have a problem, I need to be there for them too.
whenever you and Luke were traveling together, because Luke is what, 30 now?
31.
And what are you, 45, 46?
48.
Okay, did people ever think you were like his older brother?
They thought I was his dad. Or, and this is what Combs does. So Combs goes, he goes, that's not my dad. He goes, that's my granddad. And I'm like, why do you do that? And I almost made a shirt that said, not Luke's dad.
That's funny.
Yeah, not Luke's dad. But everybody, so people would walk up to me and they'd be like, man, isn't it fun to watch your son sing these songs? I'm like, man, do I look like his dad? Like, biologically, yes, I'm 18 years older than
Luke.
That's
funny.
But no, I'm not. But yes, a lot of people think that I'm his dad.
The first time you heard him play Hurricane.
Yes.
Did you get it?
I did. I got it. I was like, this is it.
I would watch those early videos of him playing at bars and playing Hurricane and seeing the whole bar scream it back to him.
This song almost got me fired.
Why?
The video shoot at Coyote Joe's in Charlotte. We were doing the video shoot and the video company gave me a megaphone and they're like, all right, why don't you tell Luke what to do? And I was like, yeah, totally. Give me the megaphone. So I'm doing it. I'm like, all right, take 17 of Hurricane. And he had to like, you know, he has to do it. He goes, take the microphone away and get out of the building because I'm about to fire you. Because he's never done a video before. And like, you're having to mouth the words of your song 17 times. And again, you've dealt with this before. And he threw me out of the building and I had to go outside and he let me back in. And he's like, look, dude, I just had a moment. You know, it wasn't like a sorry. It was like, you were kind of being annoying. I just need to let you know that. And I was like, yeah. So from that point on, we understand how videos are shot and I don't say a word.
What's your favorite Luke song? Or one you heard at first and you were just like, oh, god dang, that's a good one.
Well, he gets mad at me all the time because I request for it at shows and everything, but it's Every Little Bit Helps. It's a deep B cut. It's my jam. I listen to it loud and proud, and it's such a fun song.
Who do you like that you don't manage right now that's on the cusp or is a little more than the cusp now, but it's kind of happened in the last couple of years?
Wow, that's a great question.
That you'd have been like, dang, if I could have just got them.
Wow. Give me a second and I'll come back to you on that. There's okay. There's a lot of great talent in this town right now. I love Jordan Davis. And Zach Sutton, his manager, and I are good buddies. I love a lot of what Jordan Davis does.
Is there a thing, because you're a pretty inspiring guy. I would say more than pretty, but...
Well, thank you.
I think you're an inspiring guy and have always, just because of... I'm a big grit guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big tenacity guy. Like, I think that's got me to where I am. Nothing else. It's just staying and fighting. Like, what inspires you? Like, what do you read or watch or what are you taking from to kind of keep that flame lit sometimes when it starts to dampen?
You know, there's a couple of things. One is I read The Daily Stoic, which is essentially the teachings of Marcus Aurelius. And it's philosophy. It's very philosophical stuff. And I read that every day. Which helps. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is I have two beautiful nieces and, you know, one day they're going to put me in the ground. And when the people that weren't happy with me are done being unhappy with me and leave the funeral, even though they had to show up, you know, because they had to be there. I want people to pull my nieces to the side and say, man, your uncle was a great dude. And here's a story. And I want them to hear story after story after story because, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that everybody dies. I just lost my father not too long ago. And it really hit me kind of hard and it really brought mortality to me. You know, I had weight loss surgery about 2 years ago and it was all because I was unhealthy. I had an unhealthy relationship with food. I had an unhealthy relationship with myself and I needed to make a change because I was going to die. And when I did that, I started to have some very deep thoughts about who am I as a person? Am I leaving a good legacy behind? Am I doing good for people? Am I watching out for my employees? Am I doing all that I can? And I wasn't, and I made a concerted effort to be better. And I think if you can't look at yourself and call yourself out on your bad things, and I've had bad like tendencies and stuff like that, and I prejudge and I did all that, and I've worked very hard to not do that. And having my artists that are like they are, like the Lukes and the Nikos and the Haleys and Drew Parker and everybody, they don't do that. They don't do that. And I learned so much from them. And so I'm just trying to be a better human, man, every day. And hopefully one day, I think being a human is like being a musician. You're never perfect. You never can be perfect, but you can achieve perfection if you work hard enough at it. But you're never going to be a perfect person. And that's what I try to be every day, man. I just try to go for perfection as best I can. And I still screw up, man. I still trip on my own feet. I still upset people, but I just try to pick myself up, dust myself off, and move on.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. A lot of new artists that listen to this podcast because it's very music-centric and sometimes extremely business-centric, like music business. And then the question we always get is, how does a new artist get discovered? So I'll ask you that as someone who's actually trying to discover new artists. Like, what do you tell, or what would you tell someone listening to this that thinks, all right, I want to do this, but how in the crap do I get someone to pay attention?
Well, you know, luckily these days it's so much easier to get your music out to people, which is one thing. And then, of course, you can get your profile out to people. But I get inundated every day with messages of trying to, like, please pay attention to me, please look at me, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't see everything, because then I wouldn't be able to focus on my artist and everything like that. So what I've done is, you know, I let my team bring everything in. So everybody in the company has the ability to bring an artist to the table.
So everybody that works for you can say, hey, I found this artist. I think they're pretty good.
Yes. Everybody can bring somebody in. And that's very valuable.
That's cool. And I'll tell you why. And I want to hear more of this. But I always say, if you want to get to the guy, you don't go to the guy. You go to the guy's guy,
mm-hmm.
or the girl's girl. And guy, I mean universally,
sure.
Guy or girl. Because, you know, when people try to get stuff to me, like you, it's coming from every direction. And it's like, what do I grab?
Right.
But if someone I trust who's not getting hit with everything and actually has some time to separate and listen and spend time, if someone I trust, like Tom, for example.
Sure.
Both of them. Every great full moon, they'll go, hey, this person's really freaking good. Like,
right.
You take a look at them and maybe you want to let them open for you, put them on the radio show. I trust that because I know that they have the capacity to actually do that. And it's interesting you do that with your people. Mm-hmm. Have your people brought you anyone?
Yes. I have two right now that are brand new to the team, a young man named Tyler Dial and a gentleman named Red Shahan. Both of them are brand new, and both came through artists. Managers that are already with us. In fact, Red came through us through our merchandise person that works for us. We have a full-time merch person that works for us. Mallory brought Red in, and then Alicia, who is Haley's day-to-day, brought Tyler in. And, when I heard both of their music, I was like, wow, I mean, this is great. And I was like, well, if you guys are excited. And now Alicia and I co-manage on Tyler because I let all my managers have equity in all their artists. And then Red came on, and then we ended up rolling him up under somebody else because Mallory just wants to do the merch side of it. And, we rolled him up under the Flatland team, Flatland Cavalry out of Texas. And we brought them both on, and we're excited about it. You know, we're very excited about it. And one thing that I love to do early on with all my artists is they all get a artist development fund. I give it to them. They have $50,000, and they can develop whatever they want. And I'm just like, look, here's the deal. I don't own your art. That's your masters are your masters. That's fine. I'll put them out, and as soon as you pay me back, you get them free and clear. I'm not trying to be a record label. I'm trying to be your manager. And if you don't have the money, I don't want you to go to someone else and like an investor and, you know, have to pay them 10% for the rest of your life. So I'll just do it. And it's burned me, but it's also given artists the opportunity to create whatever they wanted to and put it out there. And it's, you know, one thing that we did with Drew Parker. And before we got the deal done at, now he's at Warner, he had recouped his entire thing. He was like done. He's like, here's all your money back. And I was like, all right, man, great. Let's keep going.
I want to play a little bit of Tyler Dial. Here is Hold You To It.
I know we needed a night like tonight. Everything's just right. You're dancing while I'm setting the mood with a bottle of wine.
So with a guy like Tyler,
sure.
How long, like what's the forecast when you tell him timing-wise on doing what he wants to get done?
You know, it's a little bit different. So with him, we were like, all right, do you have songs written? He's like, yes. I was like, let's go into the studio immediately then. Let's go cut. And luckily it was during COVID. So we were able to, like, I can't believe I just said luckily during COVID. But we were able to go into a studio, cut the entire thing, get it done. And we were going to go release it. And we're very close to closing a record deal with him with a LA label. Like, it's out of town. It's not even here. And, he was very receptive. And I think what I do is I sit down and, you know, there's a guy named Shep Gordon, who is like my spiritual mentor. Shep, you know, managed Alice Cooper and a bunch of people like that. And I watch, he has a show called Supermensch. There's a documentary about him. So I watch this thing and he says this thing where he sits down with him. He looks him in the eye and says, if I do my job absolutely perfect, you will end up hating me because I'll make you the superstar. And I do something very similar. I sit down to him and I say, look, you're going to have to work harder than me every day. I'm going to push you. We're going to put a lot of stuff on your plate, and there's going to be many days you're going to feel like breaking. But if you don't and you stick with it, you're going to have a career. And that's the only goal, is to make them have a career. Now, you know as well as I do, there is no guarantee in this business. But you can work super hard, and I've watched lots of great bands who were never on the radio have lifelong careers playing to 2,500 to 3,000 people every night, having a very comfortable life and doing everything they wanted to, without having the commercial success that, you know, that they would have like being on radio. And then I've had seen the other side of it when all of that kind of comes together and it can really blow up. But you can have a fantastic career by never having that commercial acclaim that some people do have.
Drew's on tour with Luke.
Right now, right? He is, yes. Yeah.
Here is Drew Parker, While You're Gone.
You are your out there looking for some kind of brand new star. I'll just be kicking it with this baby, baby. Oh.
I gotta imagine that just being on tour with Luke gives people cred.
Yes.
Because they're going, well, if Luke vouches for him, I should probably like him too.
Guilty by association.
Yeah.
But when you see Drew, it's so funny because when you meet Drew, he's a very good, humble kid. You know, Drew moved to town and was an X-ray tech. Like, talking about like doing whatever you can, he was an X-ray tech and writing songs every day. So he was X-ray tech 3 to 4 days a week, and then would go and write music. And so to make it, and then, you know, Drew finally made it, and we got him the record deal, and it started to go. And then when you see him, and Drew's a very nice, well-reserved gentleman. You know, he's a father, and it's great. And when you put him on stage, it's like a switch. It's like, it's crazy. And he puts everything out there and he leaves it on stage, and it's so much fun to watch. And that's why Luke loves him. He wrote One Too Many with Luke and Lonely One, and then he wrote Forever After All. So, you know, he wrote Homemade for Jake Owen. So he's a great songwriter, but, you know, as a performer, it's fun to watch him go out there and do that. But yeah, you get a lot of that. But, you know, with Luke, you get to go and you get a full house as the opener. You're playing to, I mean, we're scanning through 80% of the room before the opener even starts, you know, because everybody's there for the experience, the entire show, because they do believe in it. And this year we have Drew for half the tour, and then Ray Fulcher for half the tour, Ashley McBride the whole tour, and then Luke. So when you look at that lineup, you're like, wow, that's really awesome. The Drew, Ashley, Luke lineup, we did 2.5 years ago in clubs and theaters. And then Luke brought him back because he loved him so much. And he's like, we need a bigger look.
You mentioned Flatland Calvary.
Yes.
Here is Some Things Never Change.
Like a lightning strike, sheds light on falling rain. Some things never change.
Commercially, what's a goal with a band like Flatland Calvary?
Man, I think the biggest thing with them, Bobby, is I really want to bridge that Texas to Nashville gap. It's been such a chasm for so long that I'm really ready to do that. They are some of the nicest guys you've ever met. And the way that this whole thing happened is that we had a show in San Antonio, and Morgan was our direct support, but he couldn't play the show because we added the show and he already had another commitment, so we had to find somebody else. So our agent Aaron recommended these guys, and I listened to one of their songs. I was like, these guys are great. Put them on the show. So they got on the show. They had a great show, and then I started listening to their music. Ended up talking to them. Found out they had fired their manager. The day I called the tour manager to get an interview with them, he said, "Oh, that's weird. They just made me the manager 30 minutes ago." I was like, "Well, congratulations. If you need anything, call me." 3 months later, he calls me. We had a meal. 3 months later, he says, "Hey, would you want to co-manage these guys?" I was like, absolutely. I love their music. Flew to Texas, saw some shows. This is during COVID, so it was all half house shows and stuff like that. Met the guys, super sweet. And I was like, your music is amazing. There's a fiddle. It's very traditional country. It's stuff like that. And people are longing for that. When you have you have everybody out there that's like the Tyler Childers and the Sturgill Simpsons and the Cody Jinks, you have that world out there. And then you have like the Luke Combs, and you have the commercial country side of it. I think there's a great place for somebody like a Flatland Calvary to find their space. Now, are we going to hear them on country radio one day? I don't know. And maybe not, but we're okay with that. So what we're doing is we're breaking them. I mean, we played here in town and we did 950 people at Marathon at $20 a head. They have no radio or anything, but they have a lot of buzz around them right now. So that's what we're working on. The music is fantastic. Luke wrote the song A Cowboy Knows How. That was his song and he gave it to them and they ended up recording it and making it their own. We had Jake Gear produce it. So we had a lot of Nashville on the record, touching the record, but we said, you guys be you. They played on it. Like, you know, in this town, everybody gets session guys to play on their music. The band played on it. They did it all themselves. So that was really cool. But bringing them to town and letting them record here was really awesome. Yeah, there's a Cowboy Knows How.
Just looking back now, I loved you. The only way, cowboy.
Yeah, Luke wrote that song 3 years ago with Jonathan Singleton and I think Dan Isbell. And it never made a record. And I always knew that song was out there. I was like, hey, Luke, can these guys record that? And he's like, yeah, tell them to. And they did, and they made the record, and it's a great song.
Well, we've spent about an hour talking. For someone who hasn't done this, you nailed it.
Well,
you're
thank
such
you.
Such a treat to just be around, first of all.
Thank you.
But second of all, like, you're great at this.
Wow.
You nailed it. Mike, you crushed it.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, I know you came in like, I don't do this often.
Well, I don't.
I mean, this was the greatest for me.
Well, you made it very easy. That was a great conversation.
I didn't do crap. Listen, follow Cappy at Cappy with a K, K-A-P-P-Y. You can also follow at Make Wake Artists. You're just killing it. It's just great to see. It's inspirational to see. It's not like you walked into something that was already built. Like, you built it yourself, and you're building out from what you built. And I think that is motivating and inspiring. And it just shows people that it can be done.
Thank you.
And you have proven that again and again and again.
Well, thank you for supporting the artists like you do, and you do a lot, and we appreciate it.
You know, the one thing that's changed about you, if I do say so, every time I see you, your watches get fancier. That's what it is. Every time I see you, that's how you know Cavi's making it a little better. Every time I see him, his watches get a little bit fancier.
Yeah, this is pretty fancy.
All right, there he is, Cappy, and there you go.
Thank you, Bobby.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.